In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The gospel for today's liturgy, the pre-sanctified on Passion Week, Great Monday, is talking about the deception in the last times and the condition of people in last times, and also about the second coming. Now, there's complicated things in here, and people have debated what it means, whether or not the Lord is actually speaking of the desolation of Jerusalem that would occur shortly after his resurrection, a few 10, 20, 30 years after his resurrection, or whether he's talking about the condition of the world at his second coming. I tend towards believing both. But really, what's important when you read the gospel is you glean from it moral instruction, something to feed your soul. And there is such instruction in our Lord's words here. He says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." And why will people be deceived? He tells us. Not in so many words. He doesn't say, "This is why people will be deceived." But this is the reason that he mentions. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." So chilling words. The love of many will be cold. Iniquity will abound. Later in the selection here, he gives the parable of the fig tree, in which when the fig tree's leaves are tender, it brings forth shoots, and you know that the time of figs is near. So we should have the vision to know when the time of the Lord is near. Now, whether or not he is coming in the next year or the next 100 years, it really doesn't matter. But it does matter that we see that the love of many is growing cold, that iniquity is abounding. And in a new twist, our governments and the governments of Europe, and soon the governments all over the world, are actually paying for and advertising for and promulgating iniquity, of all kinds of iniquity. And so what can we do about this? When you hear these words, "iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall grow cold," there should be something move in your heart, because your reaction to this should be that your love must grow hot to compensate for the cold. We have a doctrine in our church that the Lord allows the world to continue because of the prayers of the righteous. And so there's a few righteous, their love is hot, and they pray for the world. We should be among those righteous that pray. Yes, the world is full of iniquity, and it's going to get worse. For those with children, who have children in school, it's a frightening prospect, because now schools are indoctrinating children in iniquity. And it's going to become worse. It's not getting better, it's going to become worse. But we shouldn't have an attitude so much of some sort of activism against it. That's the way some people react to it. Instead, and it's not wrong to try to be activist against it, but it's more important that you make sure that the love in your heart is hot to compensate for the coldness of the world. If your love is hot, then there will be some that will be saved through your ministrations. And there will be some that know the light because you are bearing light. And that's eternal and permanent. Everything in the world is not. All the wars, the rumors of wars, all the killing, all the iniquity, that's all temporary. But what is permanent is the human soul. So we should feel deeply the depravity of the world. We should weep over it. But not just to be sorry over it, not just to be angry over it, not just to be disgusted at what this or that politician is saying or doing or lying about next, but so that our hearts would be hot with love. That's what this reading always tells me. We must be warm to offset the world's cold. There's another part in this reading that I always think about, a certain event that happened to me in the summer once. And I'll read it to you and then tell you about the event. I've mentioned it several times. It's been one of those things in my life that has made the most significant difference to me. I hope that you have those things too. There's certain things that happen to you that really put an indelible imprint on your life, on how you're going to live. And this is one of those things. Then if any man should say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as if it were possible, they should deceive even the elect. Then he goes on to say, as lightning cometh from the east and shineth even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I was once playing football with someone in the summer, in between terms. And she was lamenting that she really wanted to not be fornicating with her boyfriend anymore, but she really didn't know how to extricate herself from the situation. She loved him, he loved her, they were going to get married, but not yet, because of course it wasn't convenient yet, because they were still students, blah, 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 all the worldly things and all the worldly excuses that people have. But she knew it was wrong. And so, really, during that game of playing, tossing the football, she decided, I've got to go to him, and I got to say, we can't do this anymore. I love you, I'm not leaving you, but we've got to live separately until we get married. She was decided she was going to do it. Later on, it turned out that she decided not to do it. But in the midst of this conversation, we were talking about this passage from Matthew. And she was adamant, saying, well, I don't see any problem. I don't see why I would be deceived, because I know this passage right here. It's clear that if somebody says they're Christ, and you have time to hear them say it, and time for to see their false miracles, they can't be Christ, because Christ is going to come like lightning from the east unto the west, and that's fast. So it happens instantaneously. So anything else that happens before that, of course, is delusional, and I wouldn't be deluded by it, because that's what the gospel says. And she's right, except for one thing that she forgot. And that is the other part that's right after this. After it says, the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered together. That is similar in tone, really, to when the Lord says, my sheep follow me because they know my voice. The carcass he's talking about is the body, his body. He's referring in his body, his dead body, of course, which would rise. And the eagles are those who love God. They would be gathered together around Christ. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. So it's true that this gospel explicitly tells us how to know whether or not someone is a false Christ. If they declare themselves to be a Christ, and you don't see any lightning in the sky, and you don't hear the trump, then definitely they're false. But people change over time. If we are away from the carcass, from the body of Christ, we begin to forget what the voice of Christ sounds like. And we begin to be able to be deluded. And we forget this passage and all the rest. We're going to read, I think it is tonight, it's on Wednesday, isn't it? About the 30 pieces of silver. Judas goes to the high priest and he says, what will you give me? And they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver to give up Christ. That is the exact number that is mentioned in Jeremiah. These high priests, they knew the scripture. They knew that scripture. And yet they gave exactly what was prophesied. Because in their anger, in their murderous rage, in their greed, in their ambition, they didn't remember it. They were deluded. Or perhaps they remembered it and thought, oh, that doesn't apply to me. That doesn't apply to this situation. So, if you don't want to be deluded, you have to stay with Christ. You have to make sure your love is hot, not cold. That's the essence of Christianity. That's the whole point of what we're going through this week. Is so that our hearts would be hot. Our hearts would be open to God. So that when the resurrection is commemorated, God's grace would pour into us. Not just to make us happy. Not just so that we could sing Christos vos crece and have all this emotional joy. No. So that we would have God in our hearts and our hearts would be hot and would be burning with love. And if our hearts are burning with love, nothing can harm us. Nothing can delude us. But if our hearts are not burning with love, if we are cold like the world, then we can become deluded. You might believe something today, but in a year you might not believe it. I've known people who have been very zealous, but they were legalistic. Zealous Orthodox Christians. But there was not enough love in their heart. And they are atheists and all kinds of other strange things now. One is a Wiccan, living with a witch. This person was very, very zealous, but didn't have that love that was cultivated, that fire in his heart. So you must cultivate love. That's the most important thing. Everything else follows from that. Don't let your heart grow cold, or else you will be deceived. That's really the message in this gospel. May God help our hearts to be hot with love for Him. Amen.